we might have eternal life. We are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, who is known across the universe. Nothing can compare to what we will do in a few moments together as we come before this table with all out reverence. The greatest life that ever lived, our Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you again, will you do anything special today? Have you already done anything special? What we will do in a few moments from now, in our next hour, is to be done with incredible reverence and honor. You don't play around with this memorial. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26, the Apostle Paul gets quite stern with the Corinthian brethren who had perverted the Lord's Supper. And it says, beginning in verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Did you notice in this text, Paul says that a person is not to partake in an unworthy manner. Now I want to talk about that for just a moment. That doesn't mean along the ideas of, well, I'm just not worthy. I'm just not worthy of what the Lord has done for me, and so I can't partake of the Lord's Supper. That's not what that's talking about. If that was what that was talking about, then none of us could partake of the Lord's Supper today, because none of us are worthy of what Jesus did for us. So it's not talking about that. But I want you to understand that it does refer to how you partake of the Lord's Supper. How you partake of it. Look at verse 20. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20, Paul says, "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper." His point is that you Christians are coming together at Corinth, but when you come together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. Basically, you have perverted it, and you've made such a mess of it, and you've desecrated it in so many ways that it's no longer the Lord's Supper. What does he call it in the next verse? He says, "For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk." Did you notice that connection? You ought to be observing the Lord's Supper, but what you've done is you've turned it into your own supper. It's all about just filling your bellies. And he says in verse 22, "What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you." And so Paul warns here that we must not partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And he says, if you do, you will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now I want to tell you, that doesn't sound very good. And so it is of utmost importance that we give great attention to how we partake of the Lord's Supper, that we examine ourselves. And he indicates in verse 29 that the person who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks damnation to himself. And we're going to talk more about that in a moment, but basically the idea is if we do it in an unworthy manner, then with every drop that goes down, we're drinking damnation to ourselves. And so it refers to how we partake. They started guarding the tomb of the unknown soldier because after they put that tomb in place, there were people who would have picnics around the tomb. Maybe because it was a pretty spot there in Washington, D.C. They would have picnics around the tomb, and you can imagine the mess that some of them were leaving. And the authorities couldn't stand the desecration that they saw in that. It was viewed that way, and so they started guarding the tomb to make sure that at all times, this tomb is treated with utmost respect. And so did you do anything special today? When we observe the Lord's Supper in a few moments, what will you do that holds your mind in a disciplined way to focusing on the body and the blood of the Lord? Will you maintain reverent silence during the supper? Maybe some of you may choose to read Bible verses that relate to the death of the Lord as you are observing the Lord's Supper, to think about His death, His burial, His resurrection. Will some of you pray during the Lord's Supper about Him and about you and your relationship with Him? Will some of you take a songbook and maybe turn to a song on the death of Jesus Christ and pay attention to the words of that song and think about all that's involved? Let me ask you this. If you are a parent, have you worked to make sure that your child understands the depth and the importance and the gravity of this? You know, I think about Joshua after they had put those stones up, after they crossed the Jordan River, they put those 12 stones up on the other side of the river. And Joshua said, the day is going to come when your children are going to come through here and they're going to say, what's the meaning of these stones? And he said, you shall tell them of the mighty works of God, how we were in bondage in Egypt, and God with a great power and great might and with a mighty hand led us through the midst of the Red Sea and brought us through this place, through this wilderness, to the brink of this Jordan, and we marched through on dry ground, and we've come because of what God has done. Tell your children. I remember hearing Bob Waldron several years ago talking about how tragic it would have been if a father and a son maybe were walking along the Jordan and they come to this spot and the son is getting ready to set in just a while. And the son says, Father, what is this, Father? What are these stones here for, Father? And he says, that's something they put up there, our forefathers did when they came to the land of Canaan. Now come on now, we've got to be going. He said, how tragic. Your son just asked you, what do these things mean? And you need to stop, and you need to take time, and you need to impress upon their minds the tremendous significance of that memorial. And so have you done that with your children? Will you teach them to try to be as reverent as they can? I know it's difficult, but as reverent as they can during that time. And so it refers to how we partake of the Lord's Supper. But I want to slow down just a moment here, and I want to stress what I believe is so important. When it talks about partaking in an unworthy manner, it refers to how you are living your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 25, remember it said, Paul said, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. I don't know if we emphasize that enough. Oftentimes we'll get up and we'll just kind of quickly say, now let's give thanks for the fruit of the vine. And nothing much is said about the blood. And for sure, nothing much is said about the fact that this cup is the new covenant. The word covenant means an agreement. But it's not just an agreement with Joe Blow out here. This is an agreement that I have made with God. It is the new covenant. And His part of it is, He says, I will be your God. And my part is, I will be your people. We will be your people. And doggedly determined to live for Him each and every day of our lives. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, ratified and made possible by His blood. Notice again in verse 27, therefore whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But notice verse 28, but let a man examine himself. I wonder how much we think about that. You know, when I was growing up, it just seemed like the thing that was emphasized is now you don't need to think about what you're going to eat after church. You don't need to think about what you're going to do later today. This is a time to think about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's right. But it is also a time when I'm not just looking at His cross, I'm looking at me. I am putting myself under the microscope. I am examining me in regard to my relationship with God and how well I am keeping my covenant with God. Let a man examine himself. And again in verse 29 he says, "For he who eats and drinks in another unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Catch verse 30. "For this reason many are weak and sick, and many sleep." And what he's saying in that passage right there is because you folks are doing it wrong, some of you are already weak spiritually. But then he says, some of you are past weak, some of you are sick spiritually. And then he goes even further than that and says, some of you are just slap dead spiritually. Why? Because they are not considering the depth of the Lord's Supper and what it means, and especially what it means in regard to me. And then he says in verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." I'll just tell you what I think about. When I come before this table, it's a judgment seat. And when I come before this table, I'm asking myself, "Jeff, are you striving with everything in you to walk pleasing to God every single day? In everything you say, everything you think, and everything you do?" A man died to bring me into a relationship with God, and he expects me to keep my covenant. And it says, if you would judge yourselves, you would not be judged. I think the idea is you can put yourself before a judgment seat here. You can look at yourself, and one thing for sure, if you don't pass your judgment, you sure won't pass God's. So get it right with yourself before God when you're partaking of the Lord's Supper. And then he says in verse 32, "For when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world." So, did you do anything special today? Will you think about your covenant today and how you are living before the God of heaven? You know, when I was growing up, I can remember in that small congregation that I grew up in, I can remember that sometimes the Lord's Supper would pass by people, and I'd see them do like this. They'd just shake their head, and they'd let it pass by. Didn't happen often, but every once in a while, you'd see somebody just shake their head, meaning no. Found out later that what that oftentimes meant is the person just had maybe sinned in some way during the week, and they didn't feel worthy, and so they let the Lord's Supper pass. And I appreciate that attitude. We could use a whole lot of that passed around among us today, at least that kind of gravity of thought. But what I rather say is what you really ought to do is that you ought to talk to God before you come here today. You ought to tell God you're serious about your relationship with Him, and then partake of the Lord's Supper, renewing your commitment to God. It's not about having messed up during the week. If you have to have not messed up during the week in any way to partake of the Lord's Supper, then I don't think any of us could. But here's what I want to say to you. If you know that you are not really striving to do what's right out there, I ain't talking about a moment of weakness when you didn't mean to, but I'm talking about you not caring. And you're not striving. And Christ doesn't mean as much to you as when you first became a Christian. Then leave this supper alone. Because it is even more dangerous to desecrate this memorial. God doesn't play with this. To show you even more so how much I know that, Hebrews 10 and verse 29 says, "Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God under his feet and counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace?" He's talking about a person there who's leaving his walk with the Lord, who's not even striving. In fact, he may even leave the Lord. And he says, what you are doing is you are trampling the Son of God under your feet. You're counting the blood of the covenant by which you were sanctified as though it's a common thing. Is this common? Is the tomb of the unknown soldier common? But he says this is what we can be capable of doing when we're not regarding properly our covenant with God. He goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 10, when he talked about the seriousness of that, he says in verse 30, "For I know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." And so my encouragement to you today would be that if you know you're not striving to live right, I believe I'd step off to a little room by myself and do some praying in the intermission. And I'd tell God I'm not where I need to be. But I'm going to step back into that auditorium now, Lord, taking your forgiveness. And I'm going to partake of that Lord's Supper like I never have before. And I'm going to renew my commitment to you. And I'm going to be serious about my relationship with you. So, will you do anything special today as you come before the tomb of the known Lord? You know, the Jews understood the need for preparation. They had a day of preparation before the Sabbath day. And I noticed on some material that I looked up on the internet, it says the quality of an occasion and the success of it is often determined by the amount of preparation that goes into it. In other words, you're going to get out of this what you put into it. In the Scripture, the day before the onset of Shabbat is called the preparation day. To be able to keep the Sabbath properly, adequate preparation is necessary, which means planning ahead. As part of the spiritual preparation, a cleansing ritual in a bath, followed by a prayer and reading of the Word, has become a tradition in order to draw close to Yahweh God for the commencement of the day. Here's some people who take a bath. Take a bath in preparation for the oncoming Sabbath day. What do you think about that? Will you do anything special in preparation for today? Brother Connie Adams used to talk about when he was growing up, he said on Saturday nights, he said we had shoeshine night. He said all of us boys had to gather in the living room with Dad, and he said we all shined our shoes on Saturday night because tomorrow's Lord's Day, boys. Shoeshine night. It may be that you need to avoid a late nighter so you can be well rested today. Why in the world are we up Roll Tiding and War Eagle and Go Vols all the way till midnight and we're pooped on Sunday? About to fall asleep. Can't do what we need to do in regard to this because there wasn't adequate preparation the night before. Let me just ask you this question. Did you start thinking about today last night? Did you have serious thoughts last night about today? Did you do anything special? What was your first thought when the alarm clock went off this morning? Now I have an edge on you because I'm preaching the sermon, right? But I do have on my phone, you know, the alarm goes off and you can put a little memo on the alarm. My Sunday morning alarm says, when my phone goes off, it says, "He is risen. Rise and worship." And that becomes my first thought for the day. Did you read anything before you came today? Did you sing a song this morning? Did you reflect in any way on the Lord's Supper to come today? Let me ask you this. Was it your personal choice this morning to wear dress clothes? Was it your personal choice to wear dress clothes because you thought this was a special occasion? I know of a place where the elders actually request that the men who are going to be serving at the Lord's Supper table that they wear a coat and tie. What do you think about that? Is that overboard? Is that too much? Or is that showing that some real thought is being given as to what we might could do to show the reverence of this occasion? You know, they thought it was fitting at the tomb of the unknown soldier in regard to clothes. He spends 8 hours on his clothes. What do you think a man thinks about during those 8 hours? I mean, when you're shining those shoes and you're getting everything just perfect, what in the world goes through your mind as you're spending 8 hours on just what I'm going to wear for this occasion? You know, sometimes the things we do put our minds in a certain place. For example, I don't push a prayer posture. But when I get down like this, it says something to my brain. It says, you're higher than me. I don't get down on my knees for anybody. You're higher than me. It shows humility on the part of the person who has gone low. You see, gestures sometimes communicate things to us. And the things that you decide to do in regard to the Lord's Supper may very well help your mind to get in the right place as well. I know the Lord's looking at our hearts. But it may be that somebody's heart says, I want to do something special today. You know, I think I'm going to dress special today. I did for the wedding that I went to. The other day I went to a funeral and I did then. I did for that ceremony they had at such and such. I did then. You know, I think I will for this too. It does raise a question sometimes why we dress up for other things and we dress down for this. I'm not saying that God's got a dress code, but I am saying what's the difference in the thinking? I don't believe God has a code. I don't think we have to disrespect anyone. I don't think we should. In fact, when I read my Bible, I'll just say this quickly. When I read my Bible, in James chapter 2, the only time I remember God talking about clothes in the New Testament, He was getting on to the dressed up folks. He was getting on to the dressed up folks because a man comes to you in common or vile clothing, and you say to him, oh, you sit over here somewhere. And you say to the nice man who's got on the fine clothing, oh, you sit here in this place. And you've dishonored the man. You've dishonored the poor man. I will say one thing about clothing. Did you notice at the tomb of the unknown soldier, they said the ladies' skirts had to be knee length? Folks, that's not the Church of Christ saying that. That's the military saying that at this ceremony, that'd be a good thing to do. And I will say this, when I'm serving the Lord's Supper, observing the Lord's body, I don't need to see yours. And so modesty has a place. There is something to be said for thinking in regard to dress. If there is a code, the code would simply be that I want you to be reverent. And however you decide to express that is what I want you to do. Be reverent and let everything that you do be an expression of that reverence. Did you do anything special today? Will you? Before you left the house this morning, did you maybe gather the family together for prayer before you came to the building? Did our community do anything special today? You know, when I was growing up, if you needed bread or gasoline or anything like that, you better get it the day before because nothing's going to be open on Sunday. Where'd that go? What was the thinking? Why? I mean, in my community, I mean, it shut down. Why? That's because most people showed reverence for that supper. Workplaces closed, gas stations closed, grocery stores closed. Chick-fil-A during a recent Super Bowl, you know, they play that on Sunday. They had a restaurant inside the stadium. And the question was raised whether Chick-fil-A would open their restaurant inside the stadium on Super Bowl Sunday. Chick-fil-A said Chick-fil-A stays closed on Sundays because of its company values. Even though the fast food chain has a location inside the stadium, Chick-fil-A will not be open during the Super Bowl. Standing behind a decade-old policy that its stores closed on Sunday in order to observe a day of rest. We've digressed. I'm not saying it's wrong for a store to be open some portion of Sunday, but I want to tell you, we've digressed. In my community, I saw this just the other day. I pulled up to a place to get some gas. Y'all know if you can see it right there on the sign. There it is, bigger. Now selling beer on Sundays. Not only are we going to be open, you can come get your alcohol today. Reverence for what Jesus did? Since we started doing that kind of stuff, has our society grown in its reverence for God? I don't think I see it, do you? Will you treat today just like a Friday night or a Saturday, or will you hold it more special? Will you do anything special today? The lesson's yours.